I'm Don Newberry, the Idle American in Fort Worth. Today, a hat that stays put. My aged Uncle Mort admitted the other day that he feels like it's time for him to re-enter the stock market. This time he's brimming with confidence. He swore off trying to outguess the market in the late 1990s when his portfolio was wiped out. Mort said he lumped all of his investments into what he called sweet chariot stocks. I'd never heard of such, but his next sentence clarified. When I bought 'em, they swung low, he cackled. He feels certain that wide-brimmed hats for ladies are going to make a comeback after several decades in storage, with owners hoping to live long enough to see them regain popularity. Many after-the-fact comments about the recent presidential inauguration concerning Melania Trump's hat, nearly as big as a stagecoach wagon wheel with ample space to carve a turkey. Someone said that refugees reaching Florida shores have shown up clinging to less. Lots of women are on shopping sprees right now trying to find hats like hers, Mort said, and they're not finding any of them at the dollar store. It appears to me that her hat provided a personal border wall, allowing cheek pecs to reach within 2 inches of their intended targets. I'm not sure how she'd make it flying coach on today's airliners. Well, duh, she wouldn't be flying coach. Well, I guess if she were, she could take a middle seat and then buy seats on each side so she could leave her hat on. The subject reminds me of my ingenious uncle who, as a lad, was an usher at the local movie house. This was in the 1920s, before talkies. All they had were jumpy figures with captions, along with occasional film breaks. He said the manager staged a contest among the ushers to see how the problem of women wearing huge hats could somehow be persuaded to remove them so folks behind them could see the screen. Mort was creative even then. He made a printed sign and placed it at the entrance. It read, "Ladies over age 40 need not remove their hats." Problem solved. Mort won the contest. Meanwhile, President 47 took time from signing executive orders to decree that the Gulf of Mexico will henceforth be named Gulf of America. Such may have occurred to other folks, but I've never heard it mentioned. The decree begs numerous questions. First of all, who named it and when? How much of the Gulf is owned by the USA? Finally, is it really a Gulf? Cursory research reveals that the Gulf had no name until the 1540s, when most maps and documents referred to it as the Golfo de Nueva Espanol, from Greek mythology and its Sea of Atlas. People who know far more about matters such as this than I do say that it's not really a gulf, but more nearly a sea. In some cases, it is considerably larger than the other bodies of water that we call oceans and seas. I don't know, but Mort might want to consider investing in map making and or t-shirt lettering. Presses are already rolling. Loyalty was a word frequently heard during the recent inauguration, and likely in all the ones before it. It's a trait to be valued, but few have seen evidence up close to match Dr. Charles Wade's recollection. He was pastor of Arlington First Baptist Church for 23 years until 1999, when he became executive director of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. In Arlington, he succeeded the late Dr. Henard E. East, who was on staff there for 53 years. Someone asked Dr. East about loyalty to his successor. "Let me put it this way," he said. "If Dr. Wade decides to paint the steeple pink, I'll climb up there with him and hold the bucket." Don Newberry in Fort Worth. Good day.